Sometimes it's just so important to remember we have a plan. There is a plan for us, even a strategy. Let's talk about it. Strategizing for Christ. That's the message today. Strategizing for Christ from Dr. Don Wilson, well-known author, evangelist, and pastor. And in these moments together, he'll be taking us to the scriptures. Matter of fact, Mark's Gospel, chapter 6, as we begin to understand how the way we live out our life, the general purposes, the unique talents and gifts that you have are all a part of God's strategy in your life for Jesus Christ. Again, that'll unpack as we dive into God's Word together today. Know that we're here for you as well. Online at tewonline.org or this phone number, 866-899-9673. We'd love to get together and encourage you. Now, Dr. Don Wilson.
I want to invite you to take your Bibles and turn with me to Mark's Gospel and chapter 6. You're going to need a copy of God's Word. Mark's Gospel and chapter 6. Perhaps there are very few things that garner my attention more, that give me greater encouragement, that help to fuel the things that I need to do in my own personal life than studying and observing military commanders. One can only just imagine how many battles have been fought and won against insurmountable odds. You can go way back in history. If you take someone like Hannibal, for example, that great Carthaginian general at the Battle of Cannae. If you don't know that, C-A-N-N-A-E, the Battle of Cannae. And if you study that battle and General Hannibal, you'll understand that he came against an insurmountable, formidable force in the Roman army. The pundits made it very clear that there was no way that he could win the battle. And in order to accomplish what was accomplished at the Battle of Cannae, General Hannibal did some amazing things. He strategized. He valued the fact that he was determined to win, that he would be victorious. He knew why. And the stories of Hannibal leading his army over the Alps, an army that was accompanied by a lot of elephants. You say, elephants? Can you imagine elephants going over the Alps? And yet he did it. And at the Battle of Cannae, he defeated the Roman Empire. We could come into more modern times in 1805. Lord Nelson, one of the greatest English admirals ever. You can go to London today and you'll see Nelson's column, commemorations of Trafalgar in Trafalgar Square. Lord Nelson was a remarkable man. And we've all read about it in 1805, how that the British fleet came against a combination, really, of both the Spanish and the French fleets, really tantamount to an armada. There was no way the British could win. But Lord Nelson knew otherwise. He knew who he was, knew the uniform that he wore. He understood the consequences. He analyzed the battlefield, the enemy. And he even had to come to the point at which he recognized that if he was to win this battle, that his strategy would have to involve some of the most unorthodox naval tactics known to that day and time. It was most common in naval warfare for battles to draw parallel, for ships to draw parallel to one another, and they would fire headlong. In his strategizing and analyzing, based upon the values that he had, he decided to go unorthodox. And Lord Nelson brought his fleet of ships not parallel but perpendicular to the enemy fleet. The rest is history. He decimated. The enemy won a great victory at Trafalgar, even though he himself lost his life. Would you and I be willing to lose our lives because of what we believe, the values upon which we stand, and the strategies that we need to deploy in order to accomplish the goal? How about it, America? Who are we? One just need no look no further than the Battle of Midway, popularized even this week in a great visual presentation. It's one thing to read about the names of our great heroes like Admiral Nimitz, but this master strategist was a man who operated and based everything he did on deep and abiding values. He knew who he was and what he believed. One needs to just take a glimpse into the life of those young pilots who were willing to do whatever it took in the face of the formidable Japanese forces, remembering the devastation of Pearl Harbor and the loss of lives and the treachery that accompanied everything concerning the heroism of our people, who even went down right there in that bay without even being able to sail out and face the enemy themselves. Young lives, people like you and me, those men who flew off those carriers under the express orders of Admiral Nimitz, they understood that they were a people on mission. And so they flew into the face of the enemy. And history records for us today that perhaps the Battle of Midway was the most significant turning point in the Pacific War that ultimately contributed so greatly to the very freedoms upon which you and I stand today. What are we bickering about? What's the matter with us? Do we no longer value what we value? I want to read to you something remarkable in Mark chapter 6, because Jesus found himself surrounded by people. They found themselves on a hillside, and they were desperately hungry. The commander-in-chief understood this. He valued those people. He understood their need. And he deployed a strategy to provide for their needs, against which he measured the success of his strategy. And the goal was accomplished. Over 5,000 received food. Not only they, but there was plenty more to go around and to take to the bridge of their mission. Matthew chapter 6 tells us in Mark chapter 6, and verse 35, and when it grew late, his disciples came to him and said, "This is a desolate place. This is a desolate place. The hour is now late." His disciples understood how desolate the place was becoming. They also evidently understood the urgency of the matter. When you look the enemy in the face, be it hunger, poverty, or just plain old-fashioned virtues, how much time have you got to quibble? No man, no lady in uniform would ever look their commander in the face when they know full well what has to be done, because they've been told what has to be done, and say, "But sir, if it's okay with you, do you think we could just go and take a couple of weeks to talk over this?" Excuse me? Like those young men on board those carriers, the Battle of Midway, time without number until they could hardly stand themselves. They were literally drunk. They were dead on their feet with fatigue, with battle scars, with fear. But without hesitation, they boarded those aircraft in adverse conditions, revved up those engines, flew off the edge of those carriers, many of them not even making it. Willing to give up their lives, because this was serious business. And far away on the mainland, they could see me, and I wasn't even yet born. They did that for me, and they hadn't even met me. Back to Mark chapter 6. "This is a desolate place, and the hour is now late. Send them away to go into the surrounding countryside and villages and buy themselves something to eat," they said. But Jesus answered them, "You give them something to eat." What is this about everybody else needs to do it? Who amongst us is willing to stand up and say, "I'll do it"? Where does this begin? And they said, "Well, in that case, shall we go and buy 200 denarii, which was at least the equivalent of a day's wage, worth of bread. And he said to them, how many loaves do you have? And they said, go and see. And when they found out, they said, 5 loaves and 2 fish. Watch this strategy. Watch the strategy on this hillside. Then Jesus commanded them all to sit down in groups on the green grass. And so they sat down in groups by hundreds and by fifties. And they all ate and were filled, so much so that there was plenty left over. May I submit to us today that to strategize is to plan or to design in order to achieve goals based on values. You need to do that in your business if you haven't already done so. You will never succeed in business without a strategy. It's the strategy that will enable you to achieve the goals based upon the values that you hold dear. This is what we've been looking at as God's people. Strategists are people that help people to keep focus on this mission. Don't celebrate the right of every individual by taking one's eyes off the values upon which we all stand and have for generations. Strategists are people that keep focus on mission because we know whose we are. We know who we are. Whose we are? We're purposed by God. We belong to Him. Who we are? Sinners saved by the grace of God, redeemed by Him.
What a powerful perspective on who we are and how we belong to Him. By the way, you're listening to Dr. Don Wilton, our teacher here on The Encouraging Word. That's right, The Encouraging Word is what you're listening to. You can connect with us online at tewonline.org. Anytime, day or night, you can hear this broadcast, see other videos and resources. That's tewonline.org. You can also sign up for the Daily Encouraging Word email from Dr. Don. All you need to do is click on the icon for Daily Encouraging Word email, and it'll be in your mailbox within the next 24 to 48 hours. That's online at tewonline.org. Now back to today's message with Dr. Don Wilton.
Strategists know where we are. In other words, strategists know that we've been placed by God in a specific place at a specific time for a specific purpose to serve Him. Strategists know what we are. We are directed by God. He's the commander-in-chief. He's our Admiral Nimitz. He's our president. He's the leader. He's the commander of the garrison. He is the head of the church. He's my Lord and my Savior, Jesus Christ. And I believe and affirm that it is in Him that I live and I move and I have my being. And so, where have we been? Well, you can look at the design even here in a church like ours. The center of all that we are the church where everyone can invite anyone to come to encounter the living one based upon 5 very clear values that we hold dear in our hearts. We hold these values so close to us. And because we value absolute truth and intentional unity and dependent prayer and generational potential, because we value these things, we strategize. We come together as the garrison of God's force. And from generation to generation, we determine that this is what it takes in order to harness these values. And in so doing, it will enable us to accomplish the very things that God would have of each one of us. Your church, my church, every church, me as an individual person, you as an individual person and believer, collectively as the body of Christ, this force Those of us who know that Jesus Christ is the Savior of the world. So what is our four-point strategy? Number one, to worship. We worship together. Look at us, this gathering time. Why do we worship together? Because of our value system. It's when we come together that we pray to God. It's when we come together to worship that we sing for God. It's when we come together in worship that we read about God. It's when we come together to worship that we hear from God. Because He is our life. If we didn't, what would we be? There are very few strategic battles that have ever been won that you don't have a clear picture of the commanders bringing in the echelons of command ultimately to all those who are affected by it and who are going to carry the mission forward with determination, with sacrifice, and with great heroism, that they don't gather them together. This is a strategy to help us live up to God. You and I will never survive as believers if we do not come together to worship Him. This priority, we don't come for any other reason than we want to gather together to pray and to sing and to read and to hear from the Lord Jesus Christ by the power of His Spirit. We need our trucks to be filled with the fuel of the power and presence of God by His Holy Spirit. That's why we worship together. Our second strategy is quite simple, not only to worship, but to prepare. Why don't you try going talk to parents? Go and tell them and say to them, what is the thing that you value about this baby little squawking chicken that you've got? And they will roll out that value system, and then you say to them, well, mommy and daddy, what is your strategy? How are you going to accomplish the values upon which you stand in relation to this beautiful new little baby boy that God has given to you? What does it mean? Oh, you, amongst many other things, value education, do you? Well, what is your strategy? Anyone ever heard of actually going to school? It's an interesting concept, isn't it? You know what going to school involves? Going through year after year, getting up, being disciplined, doing homework, listening to teachers, conforming to the rules and regulations, becoming part of something bigger than yourself, having to learn, give up time, say no to some things because of the priority of the value that that little boy needs to become educated, that he can grow up with a sound mind and make good decisions and be a man in this world and be able to accomplish things. Prepare is our second strategy. We believe this. And we believe we do that best, yes, as we come, as we study God's Word even today. But even better, as we gather together in multiple life groups on Sundays, Sunday school life groups, and Sunday afternoons, and Sunday nights, and every day of the week, where people gather in small groups of 5 and 10 and 15 and 20 and 100. And sit at the feet of God-called men and women who spend hours preparing every week to teach the Word of God. But it brings together this incredible strategy. It helps us to learn together and to grow together and to share together and to invite others to come and be a part of it together and to cultivate friendships together. I just love you, that's all. I love the fact that we can be together and that we're growing not only in the knowledge and admonition of the Lord Jesus, but thank you for being my friend. This strategy is designed to help us live with one another, because we, one another, we the people, those of us who believe, who know Christ, iron sharpens iron. Mentoring is critical. We learn from one another. It's one of the reasons why we believe in generational potential. We don't sweep yesterday's generation off the table and even for 1 minute believe that tomorrow's generation have already arrived before they've gotten to yesterday, because fathers and sons and mothers and granddaughters need to come together. Why? And we need to prepare, because when we do, this strategy is designed to help us know what it really means to benefit by living with one another. It's right there in that small life group that you're going to make friends for life. It's right there where you can ask any question. It's right there where you can have the best fun in the world and where you can fellowship and you can invite your next door neighbor to come. It's right there in these places that you will eventually and very quickly get to the point at which you can say, you know what, I actually do have 2 a.m. friends. And this has nothing to do with Ghostbusters, who you gonna call. We're not talking about ghosts and goblins here. We're talking about the preciousness of a people that I look out across their faces today, that just like those men who came together and those women who have come together all these years and donned the same uniform and listened to the same commanders and heard the same instructions and stand upon the same values, are willing to fly off whatever it is and to go into any battle under any circumstances because they know and they believe in what they believe. A nation that begins to entertain a discombobulation of belief and values is a nation that will very quickly find itself on the edge of the rocks. There is one Lord and one faith and one baptism. Jesus Christ does not come by any other name. There is no other God but God. And He is none other than the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Our strategy is to worship. Our strategy is to prepare. But our strategy, third, is to serve. Those disciples came to Jesus and said, "What's the greatest command?" Jesus said, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart and soul and mind. Love one another. But you love yourself. Serve." Jesus was the greatest servant of all. He came to serve. He took upon Himself our sin and your sin. He was the master servant. We believe this is fundamental to our strategy. We serve others together because we know what Christ has done for us, because we have ourselves been served. We serve others because we give together. But let's understand clearly and fundamentally that this is where God has called us. Let's play the ball where it lies. Let's give right here. Let's do something that we cannot even begin to imagine. Yes, there are places all over the world to serve. My children serve all over the world. You and I are engaged. We're a giving, serving people. But let's serve right here in our own backyard. Because right here in this place, there are people everywhere crying out for somebody, somewhere, to help them. Yes, there are people starving all over the world, but there are people starving in our own backyard. Yes, there are people who are homeless all over the world, but there are homeless people in our own backyard. Come on, church. Every time you get out that checkbook, I challenge you, in the face of who we are before the Lord Jesus Christ and the values upon which we stand and the strategy that we have deployed, that we, you and I, would gather together knowing that this is the house of the living God and this is the mission God has given to us and this is the place that we will serve. And I want you to know that as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. This strategy is designed to help us live for others. Worship is that strategy that is designed to help us live up to God. Prepare is that strategy designed to help us live with one another. Serve is that strategy designed to help us live for others. And engage. How does the word engage strike you? You can sit on an aircraft carrier until the sun comes up, talking about these strategies. But I'll tell you, when those young men stood up exhausted, give out and study the great battles of Vietnam, where our heroes went into one battle after another against insurmountable odds and opposition of every kind, they stood up as one person. They climbed aboard those tanks. They picked up their bazookas. They carried their hand grenades. They strapped their rifles to their backs and their backpacks. They boarded those ships. They climbed aboard those aircraft, and every one of them knowing full well that they might never, ever see their loved ones again. But seldom did any of them ever hesitate, because they knew it was time to engage. How much more talking do you need, son? How many more times has God got to say this to us? What's got to be accomplished? You got to be stroked somehow, comforted? Your opinion got to be considered one more time? Is God speaking? We engage because we were once lost. We engage because we are. We engage because we care. This strategy to engage is designed to help us live out our faith.
Wow, what a powerful challenge from Dr. Wilton. Are we ready to engage because we care? It could be that you're at a crossroad right now and you know that something has to change. You need a course correction. Please take a moment and listen to these closing thoughts from our pastor and chief encourager, Dr. Don Wilton.
Are you ready? Would you pray this prayer with me right now? Dear God, I know that Jesus loves me and that He died on a cross for me. Today, I repent of my sin and I confess my sin to the Lord Jesus, and I give Him my heart and my life. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. If you've prayed that prayer from your heart and you've given your life to Christ, I welcome you to the family of God. You are my brother, my sister in Christ. Let's get engaged together, because we are connected together forever as believers in Christ.
If you've given your life to Christ today or rededicated your life, perhaps with a fresh new commitment to engage for the cause of Christ, oh, how we'd love to cherish that time with you, pray with you, and maybe help you in some of the next steps. As this course correction is adjusted and you're living more in the center of God's will, won't you call us at 866-899-WORD. We'd love to speak with you, pray with you, connect with those resources. That's 866-899-9673 or online at tewonline.org. I just want to say thank you to so many of you who have chosen to say we want to prayerfully and financially support the ministry. We call you encouragers.
Have you been praying about how you can make a difference in the world? We would love to have you join us by becoming an encourager ministry partner. Call us at 866-899-WORD to request an encourager brochure today. There is no greater gift that you can give than to help spread the gospel. Together, we can do much to impact the world for Jesus Christ. Make a commitment to help spread the gospel in 2020. The Encouraging Word is a viewer and listener-supported ministry. Thank you for listening today.
Don't forget that number is also all about prayer. If you need someone to talk or pray with, we're here, 866-899-9673 or online at tewonline.org.